When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
This is a CC Radio podcast.
It was just the most massive thing I've ever seen. To tell you the honest truth, I thought, well, we're the only ones left on this planet. Something's happened. We've missed something here.
The fear that went in me when I seen it was just the feeling, I'd say it was fear, but I've never felt that feeling before in my entire life.
It's a weird feeling, like you can't explain it when you don't know. You feel like you're being followed, but you don't know what it is.
We had two to our right, another one in front of us, another one to the left, and another one just across the road, shaking the daylight out of the tree. All we get is a big red eye.
I remember waking up and looking at the end of the bed, and there was a figure there, almost insect-like, and then I blacked out.
Welcome to the show, everyone. You are listening to Believe Paranormal and UFO Radio. My name is Cade Moyer, and thanks for tuning in. If you've had an encounter, get in touch with me. My email address is believe@ccradio.com.au, or you can message me on Facebook at facebook.com/believeUFOradio. If you enjoy this episode, there are a few things you can do to help the show. Firstly, you can go to iTunes and leave us a 5-star rating and review. Or you can share the show around social media with your friends and family, and that would help us grow. Tonight I'm joined by Attila, and Attila is here to do part two of his telling of the Australian's version of Skinwalker Ranch. We had Attila on, when you're listening to this, it'll be last week, and we kind of had to cut our interview a little bit short because we were having some very, very weird activity happening on Attila's end while he was talking. When I say weird stuff, this was headphones flying across the room, stuff flying off the shelves. Attila, tell us about this stuff going on, mate.
It was quite interesting, Cade, and thanks for having me back again. I know we were in mid-conversation and the headphone that was on the table decided to fly off onto the middle of the floor, and things got really weird, didn't it? Like you were saying that you heard like almost like EVPs coming through on your end too.
Yeah, yeah.
And just things were getting a bit crazy, and I think that's where we ended it. I've done quite a few interviews over the years, as you can imagine, but this is the first time anything like that has ever happened. What have you done to me?
Mate, I think we have some additional listeners joining the show, which, you know, I'm always happy to have more listeners on the show, but this is really going into some new territory, so to say, for the podcast. So, mate, last time we had you on, we were talking about the Skinwalker Ranch. We got up to the story of a team member potentially seeing this kind of creature with no real body to it, but it was kind of crawling around on its elbows. Mate, let's continue on from there, because when you were telling me that absolutely was, I'm not going to lie, it was scaring the shit out of me.
Well, it was one of those nights where there's a lot of things that were going on, and it was, I mean, I remember a very similar scenario back in 2001 when I was out at Hill End with a group of people and we were chasing strange lights in the sky, and it was just, everything was quiet up until a certain point, and then it just became a very, very active evening. And I think I can kind of relate that evening, even though the phenomena is very, very different, to what happened that night. And it was just one thing after the next that was going on. I mean, look, nobody expected this. I mean, it's like, you know, I mean, how do you expect to see something like that crawling across the ground? You know, I mean, I've never even heard of stuff like that, you know, let alone seen it. I personally didn't see it, but the two crew members who saw it were completely freaked out. One of them happened to be my daughter, and the other one was a good friend of ours, and she was there helping with us with the production. I think I was filming Paranormal Investigators Uncut, and we're doing a segment on independent investigators, and yeah, just stuff started getting real, and so it was an interesting evening, I have to say. This was when my daughter actually saw that thing, that rake-like thing walking across the roof, and it was just getting too real for everybody, and it was one of those nights where it was enough was enough. It was getting just too strange. I mean, it's one thing that you hear, you know, bumps in the hall, and there's another thing when you start seeing stuff like that. You really don't know what these things are about. We know from past experience, like from the doppelganger that we experienced during a shoot back 2012, 2013, I think it was. We know that these things can interact with the environment, interact with people. They're physical in nature, so, you know, they can potentially harm people. I mean, that's the first thing that comes to mind when you see something as hideous as that, that will they harm me? Will they cause harm to others? You know, looking at it from our perspective, I mean, they look hideous and look monster-like. But the problem is that, you know, I think that watching all these horror movies and the way, you know, stories portray these unusual looking life forms, if you want to call it that, or entities, it automatically instills fear into our minds, into our hearts, thinking that these things are going to kill me or eat me alive. Look, it is quite possible that whatever these were quite harmless, and whatever it was probably just trying to tell us, look, bugger off, and I'm going to show you some scary stuff so it can just move along because you have no business here. Looking back at it now, I tend to sort of lean towards that. Obviously, we don't know for sure, but we weren't going to hang around to find out.
It really does raise a lot of questions, because when the safety of your team, the safety of your crew, the safety of your family is really brought into the scenario, it kind of changes everything, because it goes from going to a spooky place to going to a dangerous place.
Well, that's right. I mean, my wife and I have been to enough past places together to know, you know, what certain things are. And I mean, obviously you can't say, oh, well, that's, you know, that's a spirit of a dead guy or, you know, or whatever. But we know that, you know, with subtle movements and knocks and bangs and things like that, we've been through, her and I have investigated so many properties and places together. That we can kind of tell the telltale signs that, okay, well, that's not, you know, that's not house movement. That's something else that's, you know, that's tapping the walls and you know, moving the chairs and, you know, and obviously the list goes on. And those listeners who've actually are in or have been in you know, the researching the paranormal will know exactly what I'm talking about. But yeah, it is. It comes to a point where you start. It's almost like you're leveling up and you're opening the next door and, okay, we'll see what's behind door number five. And it's not always a pleasant experience. And some people may think, oh, well, you know, why don't you run after something like this, and that's what you're there for, aren't you? Well, that's true. But like you said before, Kate, that you've got to take safety into consideration, because we don't know what we're dealing with. You know, it's almost like, you know, I guess when early man started, you know, migrating out of Africa and encountered different creatures in different countries that they've never seen before. And I could probably assure you that there were very curious people out there at the time that went up to an animal that was, you know, a carnivore and thought, oh, this will be fine, you know, you'll see, it's just a fluffy animal, and yeah, it could probably cost that poor bastard's life. But you know, I don't think it's that bad, but I do believe that you need to be very, very careful. And when you have this gut feeling that screams at you, it's telling you, look, you need to leave now, because this is an unsavory situation and it can get quite bad. You need to listen to your gut instinct, and especially when you have family members who are on the edge as well, and friends, then you need to listen to that and you need to go. And so far, touch wood, we've got out of it scot-free.
So what is it about this place that allures you to it? Because it's obviously extremely haunted. You know, there's obviously some extreme paranormal activity going on there, and it almost sounds like there's this possible shapeshifter type of creature or entity going there. What is the pull to go there? Is it to find out what this thing may be?
Yeah, that's a really good question. I mean, things are different now. I know if we've discussed this, the place is condemned and falling apart completely. So it's on the verge of collapse. And I think, I don't even know if the building's there anymore, to be honest. And I think just the foundations are there. But this place really had a really bizarre pull to it. And I wasn't just the only person that was drawn to this place. With friends and colleagues and people I've met over the years in the paranormal community, and if they're listening to it, they know exactly what I'm talking about because some of them were actually there and were there with me at the time of some of these, you know, encounters. Other people felt it too. It was, I guess, there is a large element of curiosity because you don't often find a place like this. You know, I mean, I've been searching, ever since I first walked through that front door back in 2007, I think. Seven? So about 2007, yeah. Around 2007, when I first walked through that door, I've been searching for a very, very similar property to kind of compare with that location. And I think I mentioned this the last time, the only other place that came close to it was an orphanage in Hungary. And we went there in 2017 when I was filming Ghosts of Europe. That place had a very, very similar feel to it. But that orphanage, I have found out since, have had a very dark history there and has had a history of abuse and other things that happened there back during the early communist regime or during the communist era. So that's, you know, late 40s, early 50s before the revolution and even after the revolution there. So we won't go into a history lesson, but that place was almost condemned and it was empty and it was a multi-story building, but some of the things that we experienced there were very similar. I mean, the energies, the feelings, the smell was very similar to that place. And that place had its own unique smell. It really did. It was vile. And I've been to many places that had similar, you know, I guess similar backgrounds and had similar sort of services, and nothing kind of came close to it. I mean, this thing just, it's almost like it lives in its own dimension, and it broke through into ours, and as it did, it started rotting away. I don't know how else to put it. It's just one of those unexplained things. I can look into myself deep inside and try to get answers for you, but I don't think there's one specific answer that can explain that question for you.
No, that's totally fine. And what is interesting about that is it almost seems like it's an attack on every sensory level that the human has.
Oh, for sure. I mean, you know, from you know, audible phenomena to visual phenomena. I mean, it's Every single thing, like, I mean, it interacts with you. I mean, I had some unpleasant experiences there and lost consciousness. And we spoke about this the last time. And I wasn't just the only one that experienced there. There was many other people, and males predominantly, who actually had that experience. And for what reason, I don't know. We can only speculate.
It's really interesting stuff to think that something like this could exist. Because it's almost the thing of Hollywood is that you hear about these types of things in Netflix TV shows and in scary movies. You don't actually expect these things to to be real. And I think it's a really, really good almost warning to people who want to go out and find things like this, because one day you may just find something that you don't want to see. And now a quick word from our sponsor.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/news ad free. That's amazon.com/news ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Also, are you wanting more content? Why not become a Believe Plus member? You'll get access to exclusive podcasts and episodes that aren't available to the public. Not only that, you'll also get our regular feed without any ads. Head to believepod.com/plus to sign up today for just $5 a month.
Yeah, as my wife says, be careful what you wish for, because, things can get real very, very quickly. If you're not there with the right people, and I don't mean that, the wrong crowd or people who have got ill intentions, but people who haven't experienced this type of things and know what to do in certain situations. You know, people can get hurt. We've had some serious injuries happen at that place, and all because of the interaction with whatever was lingering in the darkest of corners in that place.
Yeah, it's something that is very, very terrifying to think that someone may just stumble into a place like that and not realize the situations that they're going into, especially if they're, say they're fairly new into the investigation game. They're kind of just dipping their toes in. It's something like a word of warning for people out there.
Well, that's right. I mean, look, to give you an idea, I'm not sure if we actually covered this the last time, but quite a few years ago when this place was still in reasonable condition, the owners actually had tradesmen there. And the tradesmen were painting and repairing and whatnot. And one day they just left everything there and left the building in a hurry and never came back. They left all their gear, all their tools, all the paint, everything, and just basically evacuated the place, and they refused to come back. So this is during the day. You could imagine what actually happens there under the right conditions when there's no light.
Yeah, and for a tradie to kind of just leave everything behind, that's not normal. That's their livelihood that they're leaving behind. So it must have been something to rock their worlds to just leave that all behind.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. And you hear of these things happen every now and then, but not very often, where you have people who aren't really connected to the paranormal, but for some reason they encounter something so terrible that, they just don't care what they leave behind. It's almost like fight or flight. I have to get out of there. I don't care if I have to leave, hundreds of dollars worth of tools and equipment behind. So as you said, I don't know what they experienced, but it would have been pretty traumatic for them.
So one thing I do want to touch on here, Attila, and it'd be great if you could shine some light on it, is when your daughter saw this thing, what was her reaction? Like, what was her process to kind of validate what she saw?
Well, look, Kate, the thing is, though, with my kids, they were born into a family that embraces the paranormal. So even at a very early childhood, if they had experiences or encounters inside our house, we would sit down and discuss it with them. And rather than tell them, oh, look, just having a bad dream, just ignore it, And if it's persisting over and over again, then there's something going on. But we never said that to them. We never said, it's only a bad dream, or you're making it up, or it's just your imagination. So they knew what we were involved in. We would talk about some of the cases, not all of them, and we talked to them about some of the investigations that we went to. So they were quite familiar with some of the phenomena that's out there, and especially in old buildings that have a history. But regardless, it's you know, it doesn't prepare you for having a face-to-face encounter with one of these things. And by that I mean, obviously, you know, seeing something with your own eyes, with your naked eyes, and it's happening right in front of you, and it seems very real, and it seems very unbelievable because it's not something you see on a daily basis. So, you know, processing this information, I guess, even for someone who comes from such a background, is difficult. But as parents, we're there as a support mechanism. And look, it did create a shock. There's no doubt about that. You know, my kids have experienced a lot of strange things when they were out with me. But they're actually grateful for the experience. At least that's what they've been telling me. I think it's very important to actually have a parent that's understanding and can discuss these things with them.
I would imagine it would be a very grounding moment in one's life to encounter something so profound and so unknown.
The thing is, though, the amount of things that we've experienced over the years, you know, you see all different shapes and forms, and you can try to label some of these entities or creatures, if you would like to call them, but in actual fact, we don't know what they really are. And having witnessed them, I think it does ground you a little bit. Because it gives you perspective as to what else is out there. It's not just what we experience on a daily basis. You know, if you spend your entire life in front of a computer reading stories, you're really not going to experience what the world has to offer. And I'm not just talking about, you know, the space that we see, but, you know, there are other things out there, and perhaps even other worlds within worlds that have the capabilities of, I don't know, maybe converging or giving us a glimpse of what lays behind our reality. I mean, this is all mere speculation, but, you know, it's when you spend so much time, and sometimes you spend nearly every single weekend and you're out there for a whole day or a whole weekend chasing these things, the more you experience, the more you start to understand that we are certainly not alone in this world.
I think there is so much more to this world that we don't understand, and I'm internally grateful that there's individuals like you out there who are actually doing the hard yards and exploring these types of things, because the sad reality of it is that it's very much a fringe science, and it's something that probably won't ever get really brought to I guess the mainstream world, much like we see with UFOs at the moment. And you know, even Yowies are kind of on those back burners with pretty much the paranormal, is that it's something that, you know, isn't supposed to exist. These things aren't real, and when they are, it really is a big culture shock to someone who experiences them.
Well, that's right. I mean, you can imagine then if one person has such a shock, you can imagine that a whole society, how would a whole society react to something like that? If, you know, if whoever out there, the powers to be, came clean and said, look, guys, we will have to now inform you that these are real. Look, there was a discussion that I heard over the radio, I think it was another podcast, but I had this discussion with other people in the field, and for example, we're looking at, you know, Bigfoot as a prime example. Now, if all of a sudden the national parks came clean and said, look, guys, okay, we do have relic hominids ranging from anywhere between, you know, 1 meter up to about 15, about 4 or 5 foot tall up to about 15 or 18 foot tall in the wilderness. Some are friendly, some are not so friendly, but, you know, but they're out there and, you know, happy camping. What will actually happen to our industry in Australia? I mean, now that, you know, we're looking at things like the pandemic, how it's basically closed all doors for tourism to come to Australia and for us to travel anywhere. So we're now relying on an internal market within one nation. Well, not say one market, we're relying on citizens to spend money and keep the economy going. If we were to take that away, if we were to take, for example, put the fear of hell into people by telling them that there are, you know, Bigfoot out there and relic hominids, I mean, you can imagine what industries would get affected by it. And first of all would be the camping industry. The four-wheel drive industry would get affected. And basically anything to do with holidays and going to the national parks, people would think twice before, you know, going out into and venturing out into the wilderness, not to mention those people that back onto forests and national parks. So we have things like this, if they were to be made public, they would have a major economic impact and not for the best. So I think that there's a reason why a lot of these things are being kept under the lid. And I understand why, because, you know, unfortunately, when it comes to about two or three people, that's all good and well because these people can sit down and discuss matters. But when you're talking to a crowd of hundreds of thousands or even millions, that's when you start losing your grip on control and people start making up their own minds. And even if you say that, you know, these relic hominids are friendly, there will be people out there who are going to start labeling them as demons, as man-eaters, and before you know it, people will be grabbing weapons and going out and hunting them. So there are a lot of implications out there by, you know, openly disclosing it and actually acknowledging the fact that these entities, Bigfoot, you know, whatever else that are out there, are real. And I get why it's all kept under the carpet, all swept under the carpet.
Absolutely. And not only is there the financial repercussions of it, it has the potential to almost destroy religion worldwide if these things started to come out.
Oh, look, I don't know if it would, because I think that I think some religious movements would have the ability to adapt to these circumstances, and they would make up their own sort of explanation as to what these are. And that would, I guess, I believe would probably create a reasonable, balance within their own group. But it's a very complicated subject. Once you start talking about, you know, disclosure and you know, whistleblowing and all that about certain things, because like I said before, you know, when you release all this information to the public, I mean, who knows how far they'll take it.
I tell you what, if 2020 ever taught me anything, is that if we got some information that we just couldn't handle, it would be absolute mayhem in society. Because
absolutely,
you have a look how we reacted to the pandemic, and I'm not saying just Australia, I'm kind of saying worldwide, and it is absolute madness in some areas. And to then come out and say, hey, yeah, ghosts are real, these shape-shifting creatures are real, and yeah, that is a Bigfoot that lives behind your house in the bush there, it's all real. It really does feel like society could almost collapse on itself in a giant kind of mess.
Yeah, make sure you buy enough toilet paper when they do disclose it.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. Well, Tilla, would you ever go back to this location? Is there still this weird pull for you to go back to this Australian Skinwalker Ranch?
Look, like I said, the property is probably no longer there. The surrounding areas, I without doubt, I would definitely would return back there and I guess spend a bit of time and see what actually happens and see what occurs. See if all that is still there or it's basically just vanished with the collapsing walls and ceilings. Look, it's... some of the things that did happen there happened even outside of the grounds of this place. So it tends to sort of it suggests that whatever was going on there is not necessarily exclusive within the confounds of the actual building itself, but it does in fact extend beyond. So yeah, I definitely would return into the surrounding area.
And that's going to do it for tonight. And remember, if you have had an encounter, get in touch with me. My email address is believe@ccradio.com.au, or you can message me on Facebook, and that's facebook.com/believeUFO radio. Until next time, stay safe, and you've been listening to Believe, Australian Paranormal and UFO Radio.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.